The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order at 7:35. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 9, 2014. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board of the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school. Faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. At this time, I would like to entertain a motion to name Ms. Sherry Bobel as secretary pro tem for tonight's meeting. And I will take the roll call vote for that, please. Mr. Frieda?
Yes.
Do we need a motion?
Motions first, sorry. Thank you. Second, Mr. Frieda.
For motion.
Mr. Malloy. Okay. And Mr. Frieda said yes.
Yes.
Ms. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin? Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis? Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
And yes for myself. 9-0 motion carries. Ms. Bobel, will you take attendance, please? Roll call.
Mrs. Grant?
Present.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. Frieda?
Present.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Verderama?
Here.
All the time. Great. Mr. Petuto, would you please lead the Board of Education in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Clinton Township Board of Education meeting. I have a few comments to make tonight before individual reports and committee reports are given. As I take on this important role of serving as a board president, I want to help us focus in two primary responsibilities. Our first responsibility is to remain focused on providing and delivering the highest quality education possible to the children within Clinton Township. Our second responsibility is to remain focused on being fiscally responsible with taxpayers' dollars. And in order to ensure that we remain focused on these two items, it is imperative that we run an effective, efficient, and fair Board of Education meeting. Our meetings must be run in an orderly manner and be conducted consistently from meeting to meeting. Each and every member of the Board of Education and members of the community that attend our meetings must be treated equally and permitted to have the same opportunity to share their thoughts and opinions relative to school matters of community interest. I would like to take a few moments to review with you how we can work together to achieve this consistency, effectiveness, and efficiency at our meetings. Let's start with our committee report process. Once the committee chairperson completes their report, he or she will ask for a motion to move the action items recommended by their committee. A second will then be asked for. And then the floor will be open to all members of the Board of Education for discussion on any educational topic that falls within that particular committee. During these or any other discussions, board member comments should be directed to the person chairing this meeting. The chair will then, as appropriate, direct questions to the committee chair or administrator who is in the best position to respond. Once the decision is completed amongst the board, is it working?
I'm sorry, is the audio on? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Once a discussion is completed amongst the board members, the roll call vote will begin. Once the roll call vote begins, at no time can a board member of the Board of Education reopen the floor to make a statement regarding any topic during a roll call vote. This type of action prohibits other Board of Education members from fairly participating and contributing to that discussion. Also, a comment that a Board member may choose to make at this point could alter a person's opinion and ultimately their vote. Therefore, in order to give everyone an equal opportunity to hear all valid concerns, issues, advantages, and disadvantages on a specific topic, we need to do it in a fair way so that everyone can contribute to the conversation and make a totally informed decision before anyone votes. Moving on to public comment process. As you know, there are three segments in our meeting where members of the public are allowed to express themselves on school matters of community interest. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression by an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment sections are only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the Board and the public. This, too, is defined by our existing bylaw. For our old business and new business sections, as you know, this portion of our meeting is for members of our Board of Education to ask questions about old or new topics on school-related matters only. It is not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up new topics relative to the business of the Board. I would like to encourage all of us to work together to follow these basic principles of how we must conduct ourselves during Board meetings. When we succeed in following these basic principles during our meetings, the meetings run consistently, efficiently, and effectively, and individuals be given a fair opportunity to participate and to be heard. I am very confident that we'll be able to remain focused and be successful in our pursuit of delivering the highest quality of education possible in partnership with the members of our administration, teachers and staff, to all of the children in Clinton Township, while being fiscally responsible with taxpayers' dollars. I'd like to just review where you are with some of the commitments that I've made to each and every one of you at our last meeting, the reorganization meeting. I have assigned process guardians for each of the monthly Board meetings that we've approved last month during the reorg meeting. I will send those out to you tomorrow in an email. Dr. Clark has a copy of those. We'll put those on the agenda for a reminder as we all go through the agenda so we know who that is. There is a person designated as the process guardian, then an alternate, just in case somebody can't make it. So that's taken care of. When we finalize our meetings for the budget, I will then assign process guardians for those meetings as well. And I've asked Mr. McTiernan tonight to be the process guardian for this particular meeting. Is Ms. Switlick here? No? Ms. Switlick warned me that she might not be here tonight. She's not feeling well. She has that nasty chest cold that's going around everywhere. But I would like to virtually, if you will, introduce at this time and welcome Ms. Amy Switlick. Ms. Switlick will serve as the town council liaison to the Clinton Township Board of Education for 2014. Ms. Switlick is a longstanding community member and has been a resident here in our area since 1972. She is one of two of the newest Clinton Township Town Council members elected this past November. Prior to being elected to the Clinton Township Town Council, Ms. Switlick served on the Board of Adjustment and on the Recreation Committee. She has demonstrated her passion for education in Clinton Township with her attendance at many of our meetings over the past several years. The Clinton Township Board of Education is looking forward to working with her over the course of the next year, and we welcome her and look forward to seeing her at each and every one of our meetings that come within the next 12 months. I would like to take a moment to thank Dr. Clark and Ms. Sherry Boble for solidifying our committee schedule for 2014. It certainly was a larger task than we all thought it was going to be, and they've produced this beautiful color-coded, very complex meeting schedule, which is easy for us to read, but I think it's wonderful because it gives us some structure for the year and some consistency. So thank you for both of you for drinking all the coffee that you did to get this done. And sorry for all the headaches. Yes. Rachel has. There you go.
And it's changing as of tomorrow.
Yes. I would like to make one clarification to the board and for those that are here this evening on one of the committee assignments that we have. I want to highlight the fact that the negotiations team of Mr. McTiernan, Mr. Malloy, and myself will continue to work together until we ratify the teacher's contract. All three of us have been directly involved in negotiation sessions from the start of these discussions, and by keeping the three of us together, there will be continuity as the discussions continue. So I just want to make that clear to everybody that that's the group of people that will be working together to ratify this contract. The school calendar. Originally, the Board of Education was going to have further discussion on the school calendar and vote on the 2014-15 calendar this evening. However, we are still finalizing some details about the calendar and will not vote on the calendar until our monthly meeting in February. Now, Dr. Clark sent out an email alerting parents that the discussion and vote will be moved to our monthly meeting in February. If there are any members of our community in the audience today that would like to address the board about the calendar this evening, please do so during the public comment section on non-agenda items only. The board will not hold any discussions on the calendar tonight and will have a discussion at our monthly meeting in February. So if all of you can just hold on to your thoughts about the monthly calendar, that'd be appreciated. We'll have all of our information sent to everyone prior to the February meeting, and then we'll have a good, robust discussion at that particular time with all the information out on the table. On February 10th, the Board of Education will have a special meeting to set our board goals for the year and our committee goals for the year. We'll work with Gwen Thornton, our NJSBA rep, to work through those particular items on that date. Additional information will come out to each and every one of you very shortly about that. And a formal notice will be sent out in, to notify papers in the community, and that whole process will begin as well. We've started, Ms. McLaughlin and I have started to distribute materials to our new board members for their new board member orientation via email. We are actively putting together materials to give our new board members on specific topics, to help get them started up and running a whole lot sooner than I got up and running. And then we're also planning a meeting to go over topics that require more detail than an article could provide to them. And lastly, at the last reorganization meeting, I requested that any board member who is interested in any of the four available outside board appointments should contact me prior to tonight's meeting. I have received some interest in these outside committees and with board members volunteering. I would like to thank everyone who's volunteered to fulfill these positions. Selections were made based on individuals' contributions, value added, and their background. I did not get anyone to volunteer for the NJSBA representative, which is at the state level. They work on legislation and laws and things like that. So if there's any board member who's still interested in doing that, please contact me and I'll get you all that information. The Huntington County ESC rep will be Ms. Megan Verramo. The board liaison to the town council will be Mr. Dan McTiernan. And the Harden County School Board's organization representative will be Rachel McLaughlin. Now we'll move on to the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark. I'm sorry?
Can I seek clarification on where you're going to
the board? You can do that probably during old business or new business.
Okay, I don't know.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming. Our enrollment report is at 1547, up a couple from last month. There were no suspensions this month. We have an HIV report. One investigation at Spruce Run School determined not to be HIV. One investigation at Patrick McGarren School determined not to be HIV, and 5 investigations at Round Valley School, all determined not to be HIV. I would like to share a couple of things tonight. The first thing I'd like to share is the county mid-year budget review. Normally, I'd be talking about this with our business administrator, Heather Spitzer, but as you noticed at the board table tonight, she is not here. She is not feeling very well. She's been sick for a week now. And it's very rare that she would miss a board meeting, so we're hoping that she's feeling better soon, and so we're happy to have Mrs. Bobel here taking notes for us tonight. I did want to share what happened at the county mid-year budget review. It took place on January 14th. Mrs. Spitzer and I attended. The meeting was at the county superintendent's office. The interim county superintendent, Dr. Vernatica, and the interim business administrator for the county, Bill Poach, were there, and they were reviewing our budget lines. They discussed initiatives in the district and the state related to some of the state mandates on the teacher and principal evaluation system, our DEAC committee, and whether or not it was up and running, and it is a very active up and running committee. And they wanted to know about our curriculum updates related to the Common Core. So we reported on all of those things. The county also discussed special education costs across the state. And I wanted to share some information with you about that because it is an issue of concern not just in Clinton Township, but throughout New Jersey. And they specifically said they'd like the districts in the county, including Clinton Township, to review costs and procedures and look at our possible interventions and what we can provide to support all of our struggling students. In Clinton Township, we are and have been doing that in a variety of ways, such as our co-teaching model that we have in place, our inclusion programs, professional development for our general education and our special education staff, the basic skills position, that the part-time position that we put in last year, and the literacy support programs, as well as the benchmark testing, which helps us identify issues with our students earlier in the process so that we can put in supports to help them. There are a lot of misconceptions about special education and the process, and so I'd just like to share a little bit about the special education process. I know that we have a few new board members, and our existing board members have some experience with this, but I just wanted to clarify some of this because you will see information about special education and some very expensive items here and there on a board agenda. All decision making for students with special needs is done by a multidisciplinary group of professionals within the school district who follow New Jersey Department of Education guidelines and best practices within each discipline. They are supervised by a director of special services, and the clinical information regarding each of the students is not available to either the Board of Education or the superintendent without meeting stringent legal requirements. This special education laws are federal and state law, and they mandate all the programs and services provided. So I wanted to share that with everyone so you know a little bit. It's a very complicated and involved process, and there are many, many laws regarding special education that must be followed. But the Board of Education is usually told what is going to be required. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you view these things, they have very little input in terms of the IEP process or the programs provided. So I just wanted to be clear about some of that information and that we are working with the county on coming up with ideas to help in terms of the special education budget and things that we can do for the future to help all our students, because in Clinton Township, as you know, our belief is children first, and we believe that all children can learn, all children. So I just wanted to share a little bit of that with you. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is, as the board knows, we have a little no surprises policy for each other. I promise I won't surprise them at board meetings. However, I am going to break that tonight, but I'm breaking it for a very good reason. Tonight, I would just like to acknowledge that January is a special month for the Board of Education. It is a month when we recognize and honor the contribution and note appreciation for the members of our Board of Education. You may have noted this in the school board's write-ups this month, that it is School Board Appreciation Month. So I wanted to make sure that you got a special thank you that you could hang on your refrigerator and show your children while you're not home on these nights. And so I have a little certificate for each of you to note our appreciation for your service to the Clinton Township schools. So this is a certificate of appreciation for your dedication and commitment to the children of the Clinton Township School District. So, Maria Grant.
Thank you.
Mark Freda.
Oops, Dr. Clark. She gave me two.
Gina Hand.
What did you make?
All right, okay. Rachel McLaughlin. Kevin Malloy. No.
I want to know where the fudge is.
Dan McTiernan.
This is professional development.
Put in your professional development folders. Kevin Sturgis.
Megan, you get credit for quadrant four.
Thank you. A little applause. Okay, so my report is done.
Well, thank you, Dr. Clark. May I have a motion, please, to accept the report of the superintendent, SU-009?
Motion.
Motion by Dan.
Second.
Second by Megan. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petito?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Okay.
9-0, it carries. I'd like to open the floor for our first public comment session on agenda items only. Please state your name, address, and respect the three-minute rule. Anyone like to come to the mic for agenda items only? Amy McIsaac.
My first question, and I'm not sure if this is actually clear that it's an item, so you can help me if it's not. I just wanted to get an idea of where we are in this kindergarten survey. I know the results are in now. What are we going to be finding out the results? how we think we were going to name this.
Thank you very much for your question. I know Mrs. McLaughlin and her team will be addressing that a little bit later. She'll be giving an update of where they are in their ad hoc process.
Okay. The other two really quick things are on the calendar, which I emailed everyone. I think we need to be off the Rosh Hashanah, and I'm not opposed to being an extra day in the end of June. That's where it takes. However, I feel very strongly about that. I also did not like it a couple years ago when we were out there the first week of June. That was a really rough sell. I feel we should be in school. I'm not one of those people that thinks we need to be in school up and a half class. But I think the middle of June, like the second or third week, is lastly, special education going to be here. I am so proud that we are here as a district. Please keep that.
I couldn't hear the last part.
I'm so proud of your inclusion district. Please keep that as a district. It makes us so special and so different. And I thought I would that. What do you mean?
Thanks, Tim.
Beautiful thing. As a parent and a child that doesn't have a disability, and as a parent and a child that adopts, works both ways.
Excuse me. I don't think the microphone's working very well. So
can
you
just tap it? Can you tap it to see if it works for us?
Will you tap it?
Can you tap?
It's just not loud enough.
It's not loud enough. Okay.
I asked Tim if he could look
right
at it.
There.
I think Tim is trying to fix it.
Thank you very much
Thank
for your
you.
Comments.
Thank you.
Would anybody else like to address the board on agenda items only? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to move on and open the floor to the public to talk about any matters of community interest. Please state your name and address, and please respect the 3-minute rule. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to move on to the report of the business administrator and the board secretary. Ms. Bobel will handle that this evening. Ms. Bobel?
February 10th, 2014, there will be a special meeting at 7 o'clock here at the middle school library for the purpose of board goals. And the Board of Ed's next regular meeting is scheduled for Monday, February 24th, 2014, also here in the auditorium at the middle school at 7:30. Okay, we have an action 14 BA 017. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the following board meeting minutes and executive session minutes for December 16, 2013, Executive Session 1, December 16, 2013. Also January 7, 2014, and Executive Session December 16, 2013, number 2. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Jamie Tiernan. A second?
I'll second.
Second, Megan Verderamo. Any discussion, questions? You were at one.
I was at one, but not two.
But not two.
I'll abstain on two.
Then, Raquel, do we have to amend the minutes?
To reflect that,
to reflect that he was there.
Yeah.
Okay. So he'll make the friendly amendment. Mark, would you like to make the friendly amendment, please?
Yes, I'd like to make a friendly amendment to reflect 716, 2013, number one, Michelle Allen.
I'm looking for a motion for the friendly amendment Mr. Freda just moved by Mr. Malloy. Second?
Second.
Mr. McTiernan? Any other questions? Yeah. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Abstain from December 16th and yes from the 7th.
So he's abstaining from this one and this one. I can help you later. She wasn't on the board then.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Machito?
Abstain from December
16th. Yes, it's January 7th. He wasn't
on the board either. Mr. Sturgis? Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes to all, but I have to abstain from December 16th, number 2.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes, but I will also abstain from December 16th, executive session number 2.
Got it. Okay, and Mrs. Grant?
Yes. Okay. Moving on to our committee reports, we'll start off with our facilities and finance. Mr. Kevin Malloy is our chair. Mr. Malloy, can you give your report, please?
We've been fairly steady, 5%, with the exception of last year. this up because I think it points to very smart and strong fiscal management on the part of our administrators, Heather Spencer, who sent you, and our school superintendent, Dr. Clark, and I also think I'd like to thank my fellow finance and facilities member, members from last year, who cast a very responsive one, particularly in my comments that you made. By way of reference, he's not operating back in a couple of months, but I think the number is 27 school districts in the state of New Jersey. We're happy to be with that in the audience and ask them questions. I think, based on his opinion, this district runs itself very, very lean and still manages to put forth a very, very high level of education in safe and well-run facilities. I think that very much has to be something else to consider. The vast majority of our line items on a year-over-year basis have gone down for Q2, especially this tuition. And Dr. Clark gave a very thorough explanation of how many of those costs are more than on any individual district's control, certainly are. And the second is capital expenditures. And that would be facilities upgrades, some of which are routine, some of which make commitment for facilities upgrades that we need to go on. Merit expenditure consideration, in light of I just thought that was a very special mention. I'm particularly pleased to be a part of the Board of Education that actually adheres as a group so closely to those goals of outline that President at the onset of tonight's meeting to provide the best quality education and do so in a physically responsible manner. So kudos to all. On to the committee report. The Finance and Facilities Committee met this evening. Unfortunately, weather conspired to keep this meeting sooner. So you'll notice on the agenda, committee item 16 items do lots of words, but we can talk about it fairly quickly. First things first, our approval for our ROD grants, our district improvement grants that they've received regarding some of the facilities and safety improvements at the schools. That is not the end of the process, that is the beginning of the end of the process. What has to happen now is we go back to our staff architects, our architects of record for Assumption. We will now build out our specs for the improvements for which we have received the ROD grant approval. Those specs will be bid, and then the contracting work will be done. We'll be begun after bids have been reviewed and approved. We will see the work being completed this academic term. I think that work will be completed over the summer.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons, most of the time also to avoid disruptions to the school day. The grants, if you recall from last week, did not cover the full cost of these improvements. However, there is money in our budget and capital reserves to cover the delta between the estimated total cost and the amount of the grants received. Something else to consider in the agenda items. Agenda items, FF122-124, which are aged by italicized writing. We make this very, very clear in terms of explanation. We put down the school district in the service of an energy buying consortium in different cases. What this does is it allows us to partner with other like districts to reduce the costs of our natural gas and electricity usage. As you might expect, four buildings can consume a lot of energy. And being part of a buying consortium is a great way to free those costs. That is also why this is not on a bid basis. If we were to bid out individually, we've determined historically and this year that there probably is insufficient savings to stand alone as apart from this consortium. So what you see tonight is the legal requirement worded into the agenda so that the board can approve remaining in ACES. FF items 127-3, special education related to student assessment. As Dr. Clark mentioned in his example earlier this evening, again, a large part of these costs may be outside of our control. This is a good example of that. A bill was passed last year and signed into law by Governor Christie that allows those students with special education needs or the term potentially special education needs to receive a secondary assessment outside of the school district to determine need. The district must pay for those costs, or we do not determine those costs. It is an unfunded mandate to a very large extent. However, those are what those items are. The remainder of the agenda that, I seek motion on action item 14FF118 through 14FF138.
Motion.
Motion by Dan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gotta do it. Motion.
Second. Bart, Frida.
Second.
Any discussion? Questions?
I have a question. I guess it's action item 14FF124. Can we say that?
Megan, you speak into my area.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at where it says the Clinton Township Board of Education is to remove the existing need for security upgrades at Spruce Drive, Round Valley, and Patrick McGarrett schools. What exactly are we looking for?
124.
You're asking specifically in nature.
I was just wondering, yeah, do we have a, are we putting in a key code? Are we, what are
at this point, and I don't understand. We don't necessarily feel comfortable having discussions specifically about the security upgrades that would be done in a public forum due to their nature. I'm happy to tell you offline what they are. We just made a decision as a committee that the items of security are best sort of kept at a high level. But call me what we'll talk, let down the house or leave.
Okay.
So I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Malloy?
Yeah. I'll give you a call.
Oh, yeah. No rush.
It's a great question.
Okay. No problem. I get it. I'll get the decoder ring.
Any other questions? Okay, if there's no more questions, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
I abstained from FF118 yesterday.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
I'm going to abstain from action item FF119 and yes to the rest.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I need to abstain from 119. Sorry. Okay, moving on to our Personnel and Negotiations Committee report. Mr. Dan McTiernan is our chairperson. Mr. McTiernan, would you give your report, please?
Sure. Before we get to the action items, I want to report out a little bit on the DEAC Committee and negotiations. The DEAC Committee, as you all may recall or be aware of, is a combination of administrators, teachers. I represent the Board of Education, also roughly the community. And I would say that when it comes to teacher evaluations, it's something that is getting an awful lot of attention in the public space today, not as much as New Jersey, but especially in New York. And it's kind of refreshing to get into a meeting set with teachers in the Clinton Township School District that really demonstrate, I would say, the professionalism and commitment to development that they have in putting forth a great, not a good, but a great educational experience for the students that attend these schools. One of the things that Dr. Clark did is setting up is a teacher university, and she's had just an outstanding response to that. I think the first session there were more teachers signing up to attend the university and giving many, many recommendations as far as how they could participate better. And the teacher university takes place primarily preschool and post-school time frames. And I'm just making sure that, because Dr. Clark wasn't at this meeting, she was with the superintendent talking about our budget. But at the first teacher university, there were over 40 teachers
60.
That signed up to attend the session in preschool. 60?
60 total.
Well, they told me 40.
I know, but I was wrong.
Oh.
There were more that signed. It was a total number pre and post school.
What's outstanding about that is that one, if I can word it this way, their superior or their boss was not there, and the teachers were talking about ways to improve what I'd call Danielson Area 4, is how they can get better and how they can deliver a better product and service. And while many in the public are making all of these comments, and I would almost say in some respects even vilifying teachers, it's very refreshing to be with a group of teachers that are talking about how the evaluation process can help them be better. They're getting into what anyone would do when you initiate any new program or process or procedure, and that is they have the same questions that anyone else does. Why did I get a whatever versus a whatever? Somebody else got a 4, I got a 2. Why is all that? But they're looking at the evaluation process, looking for some standardization in there. In a reality, looking at understanding the consistency among the evaluators and consistency among the schools. But at the end of each one of those discussions, the teachers that make up this committee are looking at how can they improve themselves, how can they be better, and how can they better contribute to student growth objectives. A lot of the handoffs that take place, I don't think those of us who are not in the educational community really understand them, is that a teacher in fourth grade really is being evaluated on what the capabilities and successes a teacher in first grade had. Because remember that they're building a foundation and moving across. So a lot of the discussions here not only are on what is the evaluation process, is it fair, is it equitable? By the way, there are questions on that, and they remain, and this group is working to try and figure out ways to work that through and make that understandable and make that workable. But also, how can they work in a team environment from one school to another, one teacher to another? And I'll just have to say that it's really refreshing to be listening to teachers talking about concerns about delays in feedback. I want to know why teacher A got their feedback one day after the fact and it took me 4 days. So they're working on minutiae operational issues, and yes, there are consistency questions, and also there are some little work environments that are coming out of this, or job aids that teachers are using to make sure that when they are evaluated, that they've got all their stuff in order, they're set and ready, they've got little reminders around so that Dr. Clark, when she's there, will be very impressed with the work that they do in doing their job. But it's definitely, you can hear from them as a collaboration. Let me not underscore or not ignore or not forget about the concerns and the stresses that being evaluated cause teachers. By the way, if you're working in the private sector in a job and you're evaluated by your boss, you have the same concerns, you have the same stresses. So anything anyone in the private sector is experiences, the teachers are also. But they're really looking at ways to make sure that the standardization is equitable, the standardization is effective, and that this is a good process. It's also important to note that these teachers recognize that much of what's going on in the Clinton Township School District is head and shoulders above what other school districts, shall I say, in the immediate and distant areas are having. A lot of troubles, and it's nice to hear that we're working on some of the things to make this more effective rather than concerned about the effectiveness of it. So. Anyway, I would just say that the DEAC committee is not without its challenges. Do not underestimate that. It is not without its concerns, but a real good group of people really working hard to make this work. Second thing to report out on is negotiations. In August of last year, August 14th, we reached a memorandum of agreement with the association. Last week, we finalized, I would say, all of the wording and documentation necessary within the contract and also the salary guides to put the association in a position to present the contract to its membership for a vote. Our hope is that that will be a successful vote. We believe that what we've agreed to is very beneficial both to the teachers within the school district and also to the Board of Education and the taxpayers. So we're hoping for a positive vote on that, a positive outcome, and we're hoping that we'd be voting on those contracts at the end of next month. With that, I'd like to move on to the action items that we have. This month, we've got 14 action items in there. When you look at a vibrant organization, you sometimes have things that you're not too thrilled about. And we have some of those. And this month, we have 3 people that have announced their retirement. Whenever you see people retiring, you kind of regret that because of the contributions that they've made over their careers. You know, however, at the other time, it's a chance to refresh, reorganize, and re-spirit the organization, and hopefully next year bring in some good quality people that will be able to step in and take their places. We've also had 2 lunch aides resign, and we have 1 person putting in for maternity leave. With that, we also have some positive news. We hired a TA, or we're hiring a TA in here. We've got some two lunch aides that we're bringing in, 6 substitute teachers and TAs we've approved to be utilized, and also we've approved three substitute lunch aides, and 1 additional chaperone has been approved in the items that are there. The first item that we want to go over and discuss, though, would be action item 14 PN 146, which is, I'd like to defer, if I can, to Mr. Sturgis, and this is in regards to the superintendent's merit goals. Yep.
Okay, 14 PN 146, the board is going to have the possibility approved.